time for Tassie Time.
The work of a modern master. 200 for Ricky Ponting.
Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is one for him to make up. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star Mile and exit of Porter.
But he says, ta-da on Bowtie. Some Bowtie brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back, all right. He's making a mess of them. Bowtie, absolutely brilliant.
Bridge over 10.
Paul and Steve
Old. Welcome back to RSN Central. Yes, it is time for Tassie Time. This is where we talk about the big issues in Tassie sport and racing. And Steve Old is our man there on the ground in Tasmania. He is the people's purse, the people's man over there in Tassie. Everybody loves him, and he joins us once again on RSN Central. Good morning to you, Steve.
Gareth, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you, mate. Let's talk about the five talking points, or the six talking points, and the first one is the Tassie AFL dream still alive?
I think very much so, mate.
Okay.
I think given the financial situation of North Melbourne and a few of these clubs in Melbourne, the strong rumours I'm hearing through circles is that the AFL will be keen in a few years, given COVID, to push one of the Melbourne sides out of Tasmania, and I'd be suggesting that there's a big chance that North Melbourne will get relocated to Tassie. That's what I'd be suggesting. So
are you hearing that from the government, Oldie?
Not the government. I've seen the Premier was in the paper the other day saying he's been in talks with the AFL and stuff, but I think there's a lot of scuttlebutt going around in Melbourne, but also Tassie in relation to... There's always been a push from many years ago to get North Melbourne down here, and then I think the focus went on the Gold Coast, then the focus went back to the Brayshaws and others, who did a fantastic job financially putting North Melbourne in a tight situation, or a better situation, sorry. But I think with COVID hitting the AFL, obviously it's had a massive impact on the AFL and AFL clubs. I think what will be looked at is a plan down around 2025, around that mark for North Melbourne, I reckon, to move to Tasmania. That's what I reckon will happen on the card. That's my guess.
Is your state ready?
It's a good question, mate. I mean, with COVID, it's made budgets tight for government. You know, obviously the NBL is a big... big thing down here in Tasmania. I think we've talked about this a few times, saying it was great that the NBL committed to a site in Tasmania. And I just wonder whether Tasmania does have the funding to and the push to still get an AFL side down here. But having said that, we already put 7 or 8, 10 million in the AFL games every year, with Hawthorn playing four and North Melbourne playing four. So I think if a chunk of that money is redirected to an AFL side, I still think there's enough money around the pool. And you don't need Tasmanian sponsors necessarily, as we know, sponsoring a Tassie side. You get sponsors from all around the country and all around the world. So I still think it can be doable, and I think the passion for footy in Tasmania is still as great as it ever was.
So who do you bag for, Oldie, in the AFL?
I'm a Blues man, so...
All right, then. So would you swap to the I don't know what they would... So North Tasmania or the Tasmanian
Kangaroos? Or something. I mean, they're definitely... not straight away. I think they'd be definitely my second side, and I'd definitely join and go and watch them play local games. I think inevitably what would happen over a couple of years would be you'd end up being that your allegiance swing to a Tasmanian side. I mean, I've been a passionate Carlton supporter for 40-odd years, but there's no doubt about that Tasmania's my pride and joy, and if a Tasmanian side was in the league, that it wouldn't take very long from them turn from my number two side to my number one side.
Well, when you talk to people in Adelaide and especially in Perth, when Fremantle and West Coast in the 80s, or the late 80s anyway, joined the AFL, they quickly turn to the West Coast Eagles or the Fremantle Football Club, because it becomes part of you. It's your football club in your own backyard.
Yeah, and I think it'll take a couple of years of just building that pride in it being a Tassie side, as in owned by us, so to speak. And then I think there's no doubt that a lot of people's allegiances, you still have your original side, whether it's Carlton, Collingwood, Essendon, whatever it might have been. But I've no doubt whatsoever that it'd be on number two on everyone's list to start with, and then I think it wouldn't take long for it to go to number one.
What about in the NBL? Are you the Tassie supporter there? Did you have an NBL side before Tassie came into the comp?
Yeah, look, I used to follow Melbourne United. I don't know why. I just had the... affiliation. I love Melbourne. I love all things about Melbourne, so I always had an affiliation with that Melbourne side. Then obviously South East Melbourne come in, but I was already probably a United fan watching Chris Goulding and these guys run around. So they're probably my number two side. But straight away, as soon as Larry committed to having a Tasmanian side, my full allegiance goes to the Tassie Jack Jumpers, and I can't wait for it to start. For me, it just can't happen quick enough.
Get up the Jack Jumpers. What a name.
Get on it, mate.
We're just we'll be signing up as members here on RSN Central. Don't worry about that. They can become our side, the Jack
That's
Jumpers.
Right.
Football Federation Tasmania. Now, are they a chance to get a Women's World Cup match?
Look, I understand they're going to go into bidding. I think there's 12 cities that are looking to host game stuff, but I think Launceston's very much in the mix. I mean,
so over Hobart, Launceston?
Yeah, I think Launceston's put their hand up to be involved in it, and I think that's a great thing. And I think AFL football at UTAS Arena, the old York Park in Launceston's worked extremely well. And I think if we could get a game or two or a few games up in Launceston, it'd be great. And I guess it goes back to when I remember working for Jim Bacon as an advisor in early 2000 in Tasmania when he was Premier here. When you do get some of these major events in Launceston, what it does allow people from all around the state to get to watch the games. They can travel from the northwest coast, the west coast, the east coast or southern Tas to see the game. So I think if we can get a game or two, I think Launceston's a perfect spot for it. York Park or UTAS Stadium's an unbelievable surface. I think it ticks all the boxes in relation to getting a game. And I just think it'd be great for Tasmanian soccer. I mean, they've been talking about an A-League time aside for a number of years. I think it's still on the cards, and I think something like a World Cup game or two would really boost the credentials of Tassie in that respect as well. So hopefully we can get Launceston on the cards there.
All right, then, watch this space. The Tassie State League, North Launceston, great to see them get beat. They tell me anyway, Launceston still celebrating after that famous victory. What's happening there with people leaving clubs? Has there been any clubs poaching players? Is there any news there, Albany?
Yeah, good question, mate. I mean, it was obviously a big result with Lonnie winning not only the, as we know, the premiership, but they won the development, the ladies and the under-18, so it was a fantastic result. But I understand that there's already been talk in the media, Adam Smith from the Mercury wrote that Jay Schultz is moving to Launceston. His wife's coming back. She's a Launceston girl. So I think he's been in conversations with the Lonnie Blues and also the North Launceston Bombers, potentially as a role with those clubs. And he's not sure if he's going to play or not. He reckons his body's pretty beaten up. And I think he's 35, 36. But I understand there's conversations going on with those two clubs at the moment. And you've also got Darren Winter, who's been the coach of Lauderdale for, I think, 11 years, has stood down. So Clinton Brown's taken over from him. We've had Jay Bowden take over an old scholar's side. I think there was, an old Sydney Swans rookie, Paul Allison's going to coach Claremont in the Southern Footy League. So there's a number of changes already. The league's only finished a couple of weeks ago, but there's already a mass amount of changes going on. And I think from a footy perspective in Tassie, if we can get a Jay Schultz down here to Tassie and we can get a couple of other big ex-AFL player names down here, it only adds to the quality of local footy.
Yep, and that would be great. And especially former AFL players now, even coaches, that with that salary cap tightening up there in the AFL landscape, there might be an opportunity for clubs even to recruit high-quality coaches that have been in the AFL system.
But Minutaton, and you probably would have heard of him, Gary Bull Baker, and he's a famous AFL player, but he owns a restaurant down near Rockwall in Salamanca. He's a great man, Bakes. He chatted to me about this about 2 years ago and said, why the AFL doesn't actually fund players who are retiring out of the AFL or had enough, get delisted, but want to go into a coaching career.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the AFL pay their salary for 2 years to get them to come down to Tasmania, coach one of the state league sides, bring their experience, let them learn the craft of coaching, and then if they are good and they excel, they get brought back to Melbourne or wherever it is to one of the AFL clubs. It makes complete sense, and that's something I think the AFL should look at, is how do they get some of these ex-players funded by the AFL to come into these regional, let's call them regional leagues, with statewide league in Tassie, and get their credentials up in the coaching ranks. It adds to their coaching credentials. It adds to the local footy quality, etc. It's got real merit. So I'd love to see the AFL investigate that and get a few more of these ex-AFL players down here into the local competition.
Yeah, totally agree. Now, you're a man that's got a lot of pull in Tasmania. For those community clubs, Aldi, that haven't put in their application regarding, of course, the government grants. I think the government's got up to around $5 million in improving the playing field for local community clubs. How would you go about putting in an application? What do you think will get them across the line?
Well, the first one is it closed last Friday.
Did it? Oh, there you go. Apologise.
So I better not pull any strings because I generally get whacked if I do any of that. But the end result is, I think the community clubs out there, it's a big grant fund of $5 million for clubs to improve the playing fields, which is to get some grants in the regional and community facilities out there. So I think it'll be heavily inundated with applications. I think one of the things we're finding more and more is obviously community sport and community clubs have been hit pretty hard through COVID. And obviously, one of the things down in Tasmania we've had a real issue around is improving the playing field and the quality of venues, especially with female participation in sports like cricket and football going through the roof. We need to get the quality of the facilities up to scratch to accommodate the increased participation levels. And that's one thing that we've lacked in some sports over the years. And that's not the sport's fault. I think that's just the fact that they've done a great job increasing participation, but we haven't kept up in relation to the funding that we put into sport, I believe. So I think this is a great great round of funding that the government's put up, the $5 million, and I'm going to be excited to see where that money gets spent. And obviously over the next 12 months, how we can really improve community clubs out there. And that's obviously, we've talked about this on our show before, the role of Clubs Tasmania and a lot of the work we're doing in the background are trying to improve the quality of facilities, but also the quality of assistance that's offered to community clubs out there and all around Tasmania.
Should we jump on the Hurricanes bandwagon in the Big Bash?
Mate, you always get on the Hurricanes. We've got, say, two English guys named as our first two imports, Chris Jordan and David Malan.
Yep.
I think he's rated the best T20 batter in the world. The Hurricanes have signed both them up, and you add to that, you know, the Tim Paynes, the Jimmy Faulkners, etc. Tassie, well, the Hobart Hurricanes is going to have one hell of a side. It'll be interesting to see whether we pluck another import to fill the third spot, or whether they feel that they've got enough local talent with what they got. So it'll be interesting to see whether they do fill that third spot. But I think getting Chris Jordan as a bowler and the all-rounder David Malan is an unbelievable pickup by the Hurricanes. I think that's just fantastic, and it really puts them, I think, as one of the favourites for the competition.
Both talented cricketers. How long will they be able to stay throughout the BBL season? Do they have international commitments with England? I guess we'll have to find that out. But have you signed Jimmy Faulkner to be RSN Central's Hurricanes correspondent over the Big Bash?
I haven't signed him yet, but Jimmy will be always happy to do that for us. Jimmy's a good friend of the hospitality industry, but also a good friend of RSN. So Jimmy, I'm sure, will be more than happy to come on and talk to us about Hurricane Spot at any time we need to. But no, I catch up with Jimmy every so often, and I think he's raring for a big, big Hurricanes tournament this year. And I'm looking forward to seeing him out there. He's a quality player, as we know, and he's a quality gentleman, and he's a good mate of mine. So I'm really hoping that he can set the BBL alight this year.
All right, then we'll get that deal done. And the Devonport Strikers go unbeaten this season in the Strikers in the soccer competition, aren't they?
Yeah, National Premier League down here in Tassie. So the Devonport, they've been a standout side for a couple of years. I think them and South Hobart used to be the benchmarks. They went through the year undefeated, which was a fantastic result. My neighbour's actually got a couple of boys who plays on another side, and they've pushed them hard throughout the year but couldn't quite get over the line. So I think Devonport has done an unbelievable job, and we need to congratulate them and full credit to them. And again, soccer's one of these sports that has been very big in Tasmania in youth and junior participation, but it's generally fallen away, the participation rates, when you get up to the senior leagues. But I think Footy Federation TAS, which is the governing body of soccer, has done an unbelievable job over the last few years to really improve the National Premier League. And I think, you know, Devonport Strikers could match it with some of the better sides around the country in relation to the quality of players. And as I say, to go through a season undefeated in any league is a great achievement. To do it in the National Premier League competition is, you know, full credit to them and their staff. They've obviously done a brilliant job.
Oldie, a lot of my friends know that we go into Tasmania. They've been asking me the question, obviously not Victorians, hopefully that the borders will open up soon after we've had some terrific news over the last 48 hours here in this city, in this state. But the borders are open for other states in this country to head to Tasmania. Where would you recommend to go and visit?
Oh, mate, there are plenty of good spots. I mean, there's some untapped gems. That's amazing how many Tasmanians have never been to the West Coast. So you go to Queenstown and Strawn on the West Coast. There's a magnificent ferry ride where you go out and look at the hazards and a few other things, and you can do an amazing rail journey from Queenstown to Strawn or the other way. That is an untapped destination. It takes about 4 hours to drive there, but even the scenery when you get there is just unbelievable. Queenstown's an old mining town, still got some mines there, but that is an untapped gem on the West Coast. And then you've got places like, obviously, Port Arthur in southeast Tasmania. You've got the East Coast where you've got Freycinet, Coles Bay, Wineglass Bay is an unbelievable spot to go to. And then you've got the far northwest coast. You've got places like Smithton and the Tarkine Forest up there, etc. So there's some unbelievable hidden gems down here in Tasmania. And so we haven't opened the borders to the Victorians yet, but let's be honest, we are desperate to see the Victorians get back on track. I think it's been a great news the last couple of days that things are improving over there, etc. But to all our friends in Victoria, from all those in Tasmania, we just pass on our best, and we can't wait to get our closest allies, I call it the Victorians, back into our state and vice versa, because, as I said, if there's a state that I've got some great mates and great friends, it's in Victoria. And, yeah, I just want to pass on to my, especially hospitality friends, David Canny, Paddy O'Sullivan and the crew from the Australian Hotel Association in Vic, my heartfelt best wishes to them and all their members over there in Victoria who are doing it extremely tough. But I obviously see that I think the tab's open in Victoria today and a few other things. So I think we're on the improve, but I just want to pass on from all our friends here in Tassie to all our friends in Victoria and to you and all your colleagues at RSM, mate, all the very best. We're thinking of you and we can't wait to see Victorians, man, come back to Tassie and vice versa.
Good on you, Oldie. We might start a segment each week just at the end. Oldie's Tassie Delight, and maybe a destination that we can put in our diaries, and when we can travel once again, we go throughout Victoria, and but we can go and visit Tassie as well. So good on you, mate.
Happy to do it. We'll get some specials. If we want to do it, we'll get some specials out there for the listeners and stuff, and then the next thing we've got to do is get you down here on a bit of a journey.
All right, look forward to it. We'll take RSN Central on the road. Can't wait for that. Good on you, Oldie. Thanks for that.
Good to talk to you, mate.
There's Steve Old with the Hot Topics in Tassie Sport. Now we'll talk some Tassie Racing with Pete Staples. G'day, Pete.
G'day, G. If you get on the road with Oldie, you don't go home.
No. Some people think that might be a good idea. Hey, Pete, what about Mystic Journey? Is she the horse to beat? Is she ready to go for Saturday's Group 1, the Empire Rose?
Well, I can tell you, as I spoke to Adam Trindip, and he is absolutely cock-a-hoop with how she is. She had a strong solo gallop at on the turf at Mowbray 2 and a bit weeks ago. Then last week she had a final strong gallop on the Spaten track with a mate. And I said, is she as good a condition as she was or better when she went into the stock stakes? One answer, better. So that's good news. And she was pretty good when she got there. You saw her in the mounting yard. She was pretty spot on and ran accordingly. And everything is all go. Now she's drawn barrier 5. It's perfect for her. Kieran McAvoy takes the ride. Lost nothing in losing Luke Curry there. And it's, look, big money for the 3-year-old filly that won 1,000 guineas of Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. But come on, you know. Yeah. It's Betty, after all. And if she ever A-games there and she gets the run, and, you know, that they hope she gets and stays her out of trouble, don't get her closed up, boy, they'll know she's about at the business end. And this will be her last run, no matter what. This is her last run, this program. She won't stay in Melbourne. She'll come home. And then, good news for Tasmanians, she's going to be prepared for races in Tassie. Probably the Thomas Lyons Weight Parade in Hobart on Cup Day. And then the Vamos, the Weight Parades, Fillies and Mares race on Launceston Cup Day.
Oh, that is exciting. So I think it gives everyone something to look forward to when you have Betty. If you're in Tasmania, you can watch her at Flemington on that opening day of the carnival. We had a few listeners text in yesterday asking, Gareth, is she a moral Mystic Journey? So I don't think you can ever be immoral in a Group 1 like the Empire Rose there at Flemington to kick off the carnival. But listening to you, Pete, that she's better than she was when she was at the Valley, and she defeated a pretty handy field that night, and she'll be ready to go. This will be a grand final before she goes to the paddock.
It's her favourite track and favourite distance. Like, you know, she won the Australian Guineas, then she went on to win the All-Star Mile. And after her Tassie campaign, she's going to be prepared for another All-Star Mile crack. So that's the long-range forecast for her. So if they put up a market about the All-Star Mile in 2021, get on.
What other news have you got for me in Tasmania? Obviously, we had a couple of really good meetings last week.
Well, look, we've got a meeting tonight in Launceston, eight races. The first at 20 past six. Look, Adam's got a pretty good team. Trinder's got a good team going to the races. And one of those is one of my best is in race 3, which is the Mare Roush in Cairns. She's only had 2 starts. First up, she was very impressive in winning. She just, you know, toyed with them. And she goes up to 1,400. And that was Adam's little niggling query, whether she's ready. But in the end, he said, look, yep. Whatever she's going to meet, you know, this is a race for her. The only danger in the race would be Gregorian Chant. There's good money for it from the Glenn Stevenson stable. It's having his first start in the state, former Victorian. So if the money's right, that's your Cornella, 2 and 4. And then Adams, he's got to share an easy road, and it goes around in race, I think it's race 6. And it's the way it won first up. It was never better than three wide the whole trip, and then joined in as if he, on the home turn, it was as if he just joined in the race and went bang and won by whatever he liked. He's in the same grade race. He goes up a fair bit in weight. He's got a lug 61.5 or 62.5 with a vest. But compared to the rest of the form in the race, boy, I just think, you know, he'll carry the weight, and I'd be prepared to almost take him one out. I might take the mare Kwai in the quaddy, but I think the back end of the quaddy you can go light tonight and get a good result. Probably field the first leg in race 5 and then just take 1 and 4 in the second. And then take TJ Frankie, my other best bet on the night, Stuart Gandy's promising young stayer. He said after tonight, he'll decide whether he's going to have a crack at some caps. So he must have an idea that he goes okay over the trip. So I'll be taking him. And then the last race, it's a one-out job with Shady Hustle. She ran second in a Hobart Cup last year, and she's second up. And Lockhart trained, as you said, she's firing.
What about the harness racing? There's been some really good juvenile races there over the last couple of weeks.
Well, Aguda Ruler caused a big upset when Rockin' Overtime was the favourite, the odds-on favourite, and then Lancelot was backed, and then Aguda Ruler, Gareth Rattray, what a star! Like, we know he's a multiple premiership-winning driver, but he sort of haven't been in the right in the frame for a while. But boy, he had 5 winners on the night and cleaned up both the features. The Dandy Patch Stakes size stakes final with a Aguda Ruler got the trail behind the favourite on the fence and stayed for the sprint lane, and when he got clear, just went bang and terrific drive. And then Melon Rowley, which is a filly that's was bred and owned by the trainer Craig Hayes. She just led throughout, and she's a very, very smart filly. And Gareth seems to think that she's just going to get better with age, and so does Craig. So she'll be put away. They won't go to the Golden Slipper, neither of the 2-year-old winners. They'll be put away for the 3-year-old races next season. So they're pretty exciting lot.
Great stuff. And good luck to Jeffrey Smith as well with his 6-year-old laid-back Kenny coming to town at Milton on Saturday night. And meets a field that he should be really competitive in after his recent performances there in Tasmania. As always, Pete, good luck on the weekend with your girl, Mystic Journey.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
There's Pete Staples there.